Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. I'm talking about the G20 summit, which just ended in Johannesburg, South Africa. The G20, in case you don't know, stands for Group of 20, the 20 largest economies in the world. It doesn't mean the 20 richest countries per capita, because you know it doesn't include very wealthy places like Luxembourg. So it's large economies, even if their per capita income's not that high. It includes Indonesia, India, Brazil, South Africa, as well as the major Western economies like the USA, Canada, Germany, France, United Kingdom. Now, there is that smaller group, the G7, used to be G8, which is the very big economies, but Russia was kicked out for invading the Ukrainian province, Ukrainian region of Crimea way back in 2014, down to G7. So the G20 conference meets in a different city each year. And it was founded in the early 21st century. This is their 20th annual summit. It took place over only 2 days. And there's a rotating presidency of the G20. Now, as well as the members of the G20 attending, they also invite various guest states such as Algeria, Republic of Ireland, hooray, Vietnam, Switzerland, Spain. I won't list them all, okay? So they try to get the heavy hitters from the member states to come, as in presidents, prime ministers, or whatever. Now, the chairman at the moment is Cyril Ramaphosa, president of the Republic of South Africa. So over the head of state of the host nation is the chair. Okay, I can't remember where it's going to be held next time. So overlaps, as I say, with the G7. It overlaps with BRICS, as in Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And the BRICS has been expanded to include about 20 countries, including Egypt, is it Ethiopia, the UAE, and so forth. So anyway, the chairman of the G20 laid out the agenda, and he said the things that they have to try and resolve in this summit were dealing with disasters, next time what they happened, debt sustainability, idea of forgiveness of various amounts of debt, restructuring debt over a long period of time, and so forth, to make it easier for less economic developed countries to cope with, and helping countries pay to transition to renewable energy, because yes, we could give up hydrocarbons right now, but the cost would be exorbitant, and to use critical minerals. Now, the USA is very concerned about rare earth minerals because a huge percentage of those are in Chinese hands, and so forth. Okay, so we have a growing world population, not growing as fast as it was, and the more economically developed countries often worried about population decline. And so how are they going to manage more and more people retiring, fewer working age people? How are we going to manage the world's scarce resources and stuff like that? So it's to do with loads of things, education, agriculture, just development in general, anti-corruption. So most countries don't even send their leaders. Quite often they're sending a foreign minister or a finance minister. But, you know, the prime minister of Italy was there, the prime minister of Japan, Sanae Takichi, Prime Minister of Canada, the President of Brazil, the Prime Minister of Australia, the President of the Republic of Korea, and so forth. Recep Tayyip Erdogan was there, Sir Keir Starmer. The big budget income up in the UK was really desperate to be out of town. But Donald J. Trump declined to send, and the United States didn't even send anyone to represent them. It's astonishing they didn't send the Secretary of State or someone like that, of the Vice President. And he said there's white genocide in South Africa, which is a toxic lie. And there is quite a lot of violent crime in South Africa, but whites are less likely than black people to be murdered there. And when they are, it's not usually for a racist motive. So the President of Argentina, Javier Milei, he refused to attend, but he did at least send his foreign minister. The President of China, Xi Jinping, didn't go, but his premier went instead. And President Vladimir Putin didn't go because, of course, South Africa has ratified the Rome Statute of founding the International Criminal Court, and therefore, as an arrest warrant is out in his name, he would have to be arrested, therefore. So various other things, people didn't send high-level delegations, but the Taoiseach went anyway. These things, is the outcome usually pretty much nil? Are these things worth it? I mean, there are all sorts of forums in which these world leaders can meet each other. But is it just like a junket? Is it just a vanity trip for these people? So they came out with a 122-point declaration. But this is just hot air. Said that instability in food prices is problematic. That they had to support smallholder farmers. Okay, yeah, but why? How much money is being pledged and to who? And what's the definition of smallholder? How small does their hectareage have to be before they are smallholders? And they're going to get the same amount no matter the quality of the land or in each country. I mean, it's a bit too airy fairy. Okay, so they're going to try and make sure everyone gets enough nutrition. So they have agreed in principle that they're going to restructure these debts, write some of them off, so for especially for these low income countries. And they said they're going to have to pay more to transition to renewable energy, but like how much more and who is paying and so on. They said that they needed to modernize things like the International Monetary Fund when Western countries have most of the seats to help the global South. Now, the global South comes from this report for the United Nations written by Willy Brandt, who was Chancellor of the Federal Republic of Germany in the late 60s, early 70s, Social Democrat. And Brandt wrote a report on the South, the United Nations, because these countries were was mostly, I say, South America, almost the whole of the African continent, really. In those days, it was really the whole of the Middle East, South Asia, Southeast Asia, and so forth. That's why I say the global South. There were exceptions. Australia and New Zealand are considered global North, even though, yes, geographically, they are South, well south of the equator. Some of the global South is nevertheless north of the equator. Now, some of these countries might be considered part of the global North today, like Chile, for example, maybe even South Africa. The global South, also the global majority, what's got to be made to do this? And I see the terrible inequity. People in the United Kingdom claiming 30% of children are in poverty. My foot, what a lie. They may have less than 60% of the median income, but they're not in poverty. They get three meals a day. They've got adequate clothing and housing. They get electricity. They have running water. They get schooling provided free of charge till 18. They get medical charge provided free of charge till 18. They might all have laptops. They might not all have foreign holidays. Maybe not every family owns a car, but they're not in poverty. I've been to countries where there's poverty, and I mean real poverty, like malnutrition, like children without shoes, like wearing rags, like not getting to go to school and so on. Not having access, not just to running water, but to potable water and so forth. Where there's mass unemployment. So we waste so much money on really the undeserving poor in the developed world, and we're not doing enough for those in the less economically developed countries. Okay, so they said they have to industrialize in a way that's helping the less developed countries, particularly in Africa. They've got to promote value chains in critical minerals. And they said we have to have a lasting peace in Ukraine. Okay, but obviously Russia means, well, that doesn't give Ukraine to us. And Ukraine obviously end the illegal occupation by Putin's criminal regime. End the civil war in Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Palestine. But the DRC has been in a state of civil war for like, near on 40 years, particularly the east of the country. So this is glib. It's all very well to say you want peace, but on whose terms? And Israel will say, well, when we completely ethnically cleanse Palestine, yeah, you can have peace. Okay. They create a desert et pacem appellant. Okay. So anyway, they said that artificial intelligence is crucial for social development. Well, everybody knows that. So it's just the non-specificity of these resolutions shows how almost worthless these things are. They might be worthy platitudes, but I believe in action, not words. Especially as the United States is boycotting this one, this doesn't bode well. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, the new PayPal, georgecarlin79@gmail.com. Goodbye.